I'm Silva Harapetian. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms.
But the conversations that I've been having with a lot of people, that's what's been happening. It's making them look at what they've been doing and the decisions they've been making in a very different way. And I love that we can tell them through your experience and through my experience that, you know what, it's temporary. It happens to all of us in one way or another. And you hope that you're in a circumstance that you can just sustain and maintain until you are able to recalibrate and recalculate and figure out what to do next. So yeah. For me, it was learning a whole new skill, being awakened and aware of other possibilities and opportunities, and learning the entire world of digital space and having multiple online businesses. For you, exactly the same. So I want to talk a little bit about what did you do after that? Did you go into studying mode? Did you go into finding a mentor mode? Did you go into I'm going to learn this next thing mode? Did you know what you were doing, or were you just kind of figuring it out as you went?
No, it's a really good question. So there's a few things there, because it wasn't like I just snapped out of it. So I moved back home when I was about 20. It was just before my 21st birthday. So I moved back home, and one thing, like, I literally had no money, right? Where I'm like in the Aldi's grocery. I don't know if everyone has Aldi's, or just not like a grocery store, like a low cost grocery store. And like, I wasn't on unemployment or anything like that, because I was just like, and then so it was so bad where I'm like, I had like $10, $15 for the week, and I'm like, am I getting like eggs this week, or do I want to get this? And like, I'm in the store, and it's just like such a humbling place from like where I'm like, yo, I just had, you know, so much money in my bank account. Now I'm in this grocery store, like in Aldi's, like, my damn. And it's just such a humbling experience. Like you just see it clear as day, you know, like just kind of going back to that moment. And so what I did as well is I got my first job. And that was it was actually kind of fun. And I see opportunity in everything, because there's a time that I could leave my house away from my mom. I love my mom, but like, it's, you know, when you have no money, you just kind of get, and you're just trying to plug away on the computer when it looks like you're, what doesn't look like work, but it's like, you know, you need to go do it. You just keep hearing these things, and it's just like, but when you have no money, you have no voice and option, so it's just like, going to work was actually, it was super fun for me. I worked at this university called AIU Online University, which was part of career education. And I'm always fascinated, because I know it's just temporary for me, you know, going to this job, making about $15 an hour, 4 hours a day part-time. Like, you know, getting, and it was like, it's so exciting, because like, it's just a different part of your life. When I was getting my check for like $200 a week, it was like, just so grateful for like $200, where like, oh, at least I can kind of pay this, I got this. And it's just mind-blowing, you know, to me. But what I did at my job as well is, there was, I'm big into, if I'm in a situation, I kind of look at it like, how can I learn it? And I was like, wow, we're calling all of these leads. So I would, basically, there's an online university, AIU, and it was about 20, I think tuition was like $20,000 a year for the university. I was like, and so my mind's always moving when I see business models. I was like, we're calling all of these leads. Like, how are they doing their lead generation? So I was like, I've been in, you know, marketing already, mm-hmm. and learning. I was like, how much do you guys pay for these leads? And they're like, and I got the information. They pay like $30 a lead.
Wow.
I mean, they're getting thousands and thousands. And so I'm like, wow. And I started to just see, like, and I was like, I'm at the bottom of the totem pole, just like the initial contact before I pass them off to, to the next person. And then I looked at the CEO of the company. And so this is something different, right? Where I tell people, you have opportunities right before your eyes, if you open your eyes. So we get like the newsletters that went out, right, every month. And so one of our CEO of that company at the time was a guy named Gary E. McCullough. Gary E. McCullough was one of 10 black CEOs that are CEOs of a company that does more than $1 billion a year,
wow.
right? And I was like, whoa. So, I mean, most people just read the email, but, like, I was always, like, into, you know, knowing who and, like, different. And so when I saw that, I was like, man, his email address is, like, right here. But I guess, like, from all the thousands of employees, people just read the newsletter and kind of go about their day. But me, I was like, that's his email address. Hey, man. And then, but long story short, I end up having breakfast with him. I had, you know, value proposition for him where I'm like, hey, I really love your story. I love what you're doing. I'd love to interview you and share your story. So I was like, you know, nobody really knows who you are, and I think it's so much valuable. And then, like, going back and forth with his assistant for, like, I don't know, 2 months, then I end up having breakfast with him. And then my boss at the time was like, how did you have breakfast with, like, not even the CEO of AIU, but of the whole billion-dollar organization? And she was like, how? I was like,
I love that story.
So, but to kind of speed it up, I know I've been kind of going. So the job, and then I started going through more online marketing training. That was the thing that changed my life, learning how to use Google PPC effectively. And from there, you know, my life was, you know, never, I mean, this, like I said, this is over a two and a half year journey. Mm. And I finally started to, you know, get where I'm, you know, kind of back at like 5 figures a month. Not anything like, you know, what they're doing now, but like, you know, where I'm, okay, 10,000, I might be making 11, 12, you know, maybe up to, and it was like where I had some motion now where I was like, okay, I'm going to play this game a lot different. But learning how to advertise, you know, tell stories, and I've always, since that, it's always been in the back of my mind to, you know, keep paying attention to different advertising platforms, the way the world is going, and not think, hey, I am so safe, everything's going to be perfect forever. I'm always, you know, learning new things. And then it was like, okay, I know all of these advertising skills now. I have all of this. How do I want to direct my energy? Who do I want to partner with? Whoops, knock it over the camera. Who do I want to partner with? Who do I want to... Because for me, for advertising, I like to partner with people and, you know, start businesses where I'm like, okay, I could do this end, and then you're going to do this end. And so that's kind of like where that next chapter of my life began.
Yeah, I love that. There's so many great nuggets and lessons in that story. The first being, you cannot take no for an answer. I don't know whoever thought that by not asking that they would get a yes. I mean, you know, one of the most important lessons I learned as a journalist is that you have to ask, and you cannot take no for an answer when people say no. No just means not the way you proposed it, right? Not the way you proposed it. I want to talk a little bit about you being a storyteller, because I think that's the kindred spirit we have in common, is that we're both really storytellers. And I think that you are a really effective and great storyteller. And I don't mean a storyteller as a marketer in the digital space, but the way you tell stories that are human, that are relatable, that connect people. I think that is what sets you apart as a marketer from everybody else. Talk to me a little bit about learning that skill.
It's kind of funny. I have to give a shout out to one of my mentors, like Don Glanville. He taught me a lot about storytelling. And then also, like, he really had to relate to people, because in life, right? So he said, people care about themselves. No matter what anyone tells you, people care about themselves, and rightly so. He said, if you have a photograph, right? You have a group photograph of 20 people, 20 beautiful faces, you know, within this photo, whose face are you going to look for first in that photograph?
Yourself.
Yourself.
Right.
And, you know, and that tells you a lot about individuals. No matter what anyone said, they care how their self, they can have all these other people in the picture, but they're always going to look, you know, they look proof of how they look and how they're represented before anything. So no matter what anyone tells you, human traits will never fail. And so with that, I was like, who do I want to surround myself? So with storytelling, I don't try to appeal to everyone. I try to appeal to my tribe of who I want to connect with. And that's through being vulnerable as well. I feel like some of the best music are when artists are, like, really vulnerable, you know, when you put, because then it's like, people, like, you give them permission to come inside, and they're like, wow, I can connect deeper. And so when a lot of people are just like, oh, I'm this perfect individual, nothing's wrong, I don't, you know, it's like they, you know, their farts don't smell. It's like, for me, I feel like the best way to connect with people is to be, yeah, your authentic self. And then, so when people meet you out, it also as well, or, you know, they're like, wow, you're so similar to, like, you know, the videos, and they feel like, it feels like, it's who I am. Or, like, on social media, I'm not really so polished. It's just like, you know, I feel like doing something, I feel like saying it. It's not like this rehearsed thing. Well, sometimes when I mess up, I do redo my stories, but it's like a really just natural, like, hey, this is how I feel. This is, you know, in the moment versus, like, you know, a rehearsed thing.
Yeah. I love it. You touched on everything that I teach in my storytelling stuff. It's the power of authenticity. And you can't connect with people unless you're authentic in who you are, and being who you are is your power. The power of vulnerability, which is extremely important, because essentially you are giving people permission to not be perfect, perfectly themselves. And then the third that you talk about, which is extremely important, is the human connection. And I always tell people, if you want to tell a really great story, try to appeal to the human condition, their emotion, their processes, their, you know, inspiration, their conflicts, you know, all of that. These are all things that, you know, I learned subconsciously as a storyteller in news. And then when I was transitioning from telling stories on the news platform to trying to figure out how do I teach people to be better storytellers, peeling away the onions and coming up, like, reverse engineering the process to help people to understand what the process is. And there is a method to the madness. And people think, hey, some people are just great storytellers, or that I don't have a story. But that's, you and I know that's not really true. It's like, it is a skill. It is learned. It is honed. It takes time, but it can be done. I've done it. You've done it. We've seen other people do it. So I love that we have that in common. And I want to transition from this point straight into Passport Heavy, because that is an important and significant part of your storytelling. Other than knowing how to tell stories on ads and advertise properly on the digital space, you have then taken your success and taken that money and taken that funding and invested it in something that you love to do. And you do it authentically because it's just what you want. And I love that. And that's one of the things that really caught my attention, of how great of a storyteller you are when it comes to these travel videos. Listen, folks, if you've never seen Passport Heavy, you are missing out.
And there's few things in life that I feel bring more fulfillment and joy than traveling the world with purpose. See, I've been traveling around the world for the last 7 years nonstop, and I've seen some of the most iconic views known
I've seen
man.
People actually binge watch all of the episodes all in one sitting. They are very well done, and I love how authentic you are in that process. Tell me how that was birthed and how that came about.
So I had some friends that started traveling. Shout out to the Unstoppable family. They set off on a trip and they had a husband and wife, and their daughter set off on a 1-year trip around the world. And then after that 1 year, they're like, you know, we're still gonna go a bit. And I was like, okay, let me try a 1-year trip around the world. And so during this time of, you know, going to places like Colombia, Panama, Bali, all of these different, you know, Puerto Rico in my early days. And so when I went to these locations, so a place like Colombia, I was like, and my friends are like, are you crazy? Like, you know, you're going to get kidnapped, like, you know, narcos, all of these things. And, you know, watching the shows, and I was like, no, I think it's okay. And so when I went there and experienced a place like Medellin, Colombia, I said, wow, I had no idea. The reality of today in Medellin is not what it was, you know, 20, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. But the narrative hadn't really caught up with, you know, that location. And there's so many locations around the world that were the same.
When you hear Medellin, you probably think about Pablo Escobar, but he's in the past, he's long gone, and there's a refreshing new era down here.
I really want to show the world what it's like. So in the beginning, I just started with you could call it a phone, it was less than, $300 you know, just a little pocket camera. And so I was just, you know, upload the videos, and they're still up my, on my, it's not on my Passport Heavy channel, but those literally collectively have millions and millions of views as well. I was getting hundreds of thousands of views each video. So I'm making these videos, they're going good, but I'm like, they don't look how I want them to look. They look really amateur, like they're not the professional, like of how I'm visually seeing the transitions and everything.
Yeah.
So what I did is I hired my first filmmaker. During that time, and so what ended up happening there is then people saw like, whoa, not good. Your production, you know, quality is going through the roof. You'll see the transition, but if you just see my finished product, the past, what have you, like, you're looking for this first video, but that's not my first video. I did hundreds and hundreds of videos before, but you're just seeing the new channel now.
Yeah, the everything is a process, and the process you do not give yourself an opportunity to get to a point of greatness unless you begin that process. And that is one of the most important things that we can learn in life, is that people are like, well, I'm not over here. I'm like, but what have you even begun the process to get there? What I love about Passport Heavy is that there is a personal and important connection for you as well. And I've heard you say this in other interviews, is that you traveling the world, you didn't see a lot of people that look like you. And this was one of ways that you wanted to encourage travel for people. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I created some of my first videos were just about being like a black traveler. So when I would walk around, like say I was in Thailand in 2011, like these are true stories. It's like I'm walking around and then like, you know, you're like really like this old lady. She's, I don't know, maybe 60. And this happened quite a lot. She's like maybe 70 years old, and she'd just come up to me. Like, I guess Thai culture is just different. America, you know, kind of like the personal space thing. But like, she'd just come up to me and rub my, she's like, ooh. Just come up to me. She's like, I like. And it's just like, because she's like, probably never touched a black person before. And like, hey, this is just how things are there. And then also I wanted to show people that people think traveling is super expensive. It can be. But it's also a lot more affordable than people even know. All these things. And so I was like, this is so inspiring to people versus like if they just see the glamour without knowing the behind. So that was also a big passion for me. It's like letting people know. Because like, I don't know. For me, the way I kind of felt kind of growing up is like cool for you. So when you see the celebrities and all the people, but it's like cool for you, but almost like F you too. Because it's like it's cool, but it's like you don't feel that you can do it. So it's like, good for you, but that's not for me. But when I make my videos, I make videos so I'm like, hey, this is what I'm doing, but you can do it too, and here's how I do it. Mm. So that was a real important part of my channel.
I hope you really enjoyed this interview and got some important nuggets out of Jabril's story. And if you want to know more, I will tell you this. Jabril's online Facebook advertising course, it's called Ad Value, is incredibly amazing. It is worth its money five times over. You learn everything you need to know about the basics of advertising. I mean, listen, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's still a process. You still need to do the work to see results. However, if you want to know the basics and the ins and outs and the little details of what you need to know before you get started and while you're going through the process, it's a great course. Literature Academy, you can find them online as well. That's definitely something that you should invest in if you need to have a better credit score, if you need to budget, if you need to buy a home, if you need to learn more about money and finance. And they've been doing a lot of work during this pandemic, helping people sort of stay on their feet and get on their feet and maximize and leverage this opportunity. What am I missing? Passport Heavy. Go check them out on YouTube. You got to watch their episodes. They're awesome. So if you need to connect with him, find him on Instagram. That is the best platform to connect. Great. Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope that you were able to receive value from this information and this interview. Thank you, Jabril, for giving us some of your time and helping us get to know you a little bit better and inspiring us on this journey during this pandemic. If you want to maybe nominate someone that we can interview that has a great story, you know where to find me. If you need more information on Jabril, I'm going to put that all on my website as well. All right, that's it for now. I'm Silvahara Pedion. See you later.
I'm Silvahara Pedion. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms.